Well, if you have your Bible, please do open it at this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3. Society is changing. One of the societal changes that is literally happening before our eyes is the increased pressure on the institution of marriage. This is literally a fact of life in early 21st century in 2015. Now, you will know Christianity has always had a very high view of marriage, and indeed Holy Scripture lays the basis for this high view with its very obvious and clear teaching that the marriage of a man and a woman is something that God has commanded. And it's not only good for the couple concerned, it is the only right context actually for the rearing of children in our world. And it is good for society. And the truth of the matter is that whenever society begins to undermine the institution of marriage between a man and a woman, it is like the man who is sitting on a branch and he's cutting the branch that he's sitting on. And down the road, there is going to be a problem. Again, I'll elaborate on this tonight. The General Assembly of this past week has very clearly and quite strongly actually reaffirmed that the position of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland is that we reaffirm the biblical and traditional and orthodox view of marriage, namely that it is between one man and one woman. And people should not be surprised at that, really. This is a Christian church, and that has always been the Christian position. And we come today to a passage that really deals with this whole subject to some degree. It doesn't say everything that has to be said, but it deals with the whole issue of relationships in the home. And I don't have time to elaborate on these points, and I don't have them on the screen, but just a couple of very introductory points. The Bible teaches that there is an equality between men and women. People shouldn't fudge that at all. The Bible is very clear. It's not that a man is better than a woman or vice versa. There is an absolute equality. Neither male nor female, all are one in Christ. There is no one, no inferiority one to the other. There's an equality. Secondly, there's what the Bible would describe as a mutual dependence between a man and a woman. As the writer, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. So there is a mutual dependence, one on the other. And the third thing is that there is an obvious diversity as well as regards role and function. We may be equal, but we are different. The context of 1 Peter chapter 3 is an interesting context. Peter is, certainly in these first verses, he's writing to ladies who are in a marriage situation and their husband at this point is not yet a Christian believer. And the reason that that has happened is very simple, in that whenever this man and this woman were married, none of them were believers in the Lord Jesus, but it's obvious from the passage that the woman, the lady, has come to believe in Jesus and her husband has not yet come to believe. So what is the Christian wife to do in this situation? And that's really the context of what Peter is speaking about here. So let's just go into this. On the first point, just a word to the wives, because that's what the first section is all about. Some of you may have heard this slightly amusing story. Some of you may have heard me tell it. The story of the line of men who were standing at the end of time in front of the pearly gates. And there was a big sign, and all these men were standing, and the sign said, "For men who have been dominated by their wives all their lives." So there was a big long list of men, a big line, and some of the men are even nodding to me now, actually. So there was this very long list and queue standing. And then there was another sign, and this sign said, "For men who have never been dominated by their wives, stand here." And there was one crater standing there. And so the story goes that Peter goes over to him and says, "Why are you standing here all on your own?" And he says, "I don't know, but my wife told me to stand here." Now, the real Peter would not have been impressed by that, actually, because the real Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says this, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives." Peter's teaching in this passage, and remember the context, you remember last week we saw how he was teaching that citizens ought to submit to the authorities. He was teaching that employees ought to submit to their employers. And so he goes on, actually, to teach here that wives ought to be submissive to their husbands. Now, it's a phrase like that in the Bible that some people have got very upset about, emotions have been raised and all that kind of thing. But let me just say very quickly, Peter nor the scripture, when it talks about wives submitting to their husbands, it's not speaking about a devaluing of the lady. It's not speaking about a surrender or a defeat. It's not speaking about the woman being inferior to the man. Some people who maybe don't have too much time for the Bible have tried to suggest that, but actually the original meaning does not mean anything like that. And it's simply following a pattern, and you get the same in Ephesians chapter 5. Where Paul speaks about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he goes on to say, "Wives, submit to your husbands." They are meant to be in that role of headship in the home. And it's a pattern of behavior that's based on our Lord Jesus Christ, who, even though he was great, even though he was so wonderful and so powerful, he submitted himself to the will of his heavenly Father. And so whenever scripture is teaching this, it is actually saying, wives, follow in the footsteps of your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is the way to achieve. Remember what Peter is saying here. He's speaking to wives who are trying to influence their husbands to see them won for Jesus. And there were the context, we can't go into this, but there were those who felt that wives should be very domineering and very dominating. And Peter says, no, that's not the way to win these men. It is a different way. Specifically, he mentions a couple of things as to how this can happen. Through the witness of their life, it's spelled out there that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, where they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Do you see here the witness value of a life? And that's always been the case, whether it's a wife trying to influence her husband, or whether it's generally in life. Witness is not just about the words that we say. It's about the life that we live. And actually, if truth be told, many, many people have been influenced for Jesus not just because of something that was said, but because of a life that was lived. Sometimes, dare I say, we can say too many words, and dare I say, put people off by going on and on and on. But the life lived is a very powerful witness. And the second thing that he mentions here is the attractiveness of their character. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. The mischievous side of me as I was reading that this morning was imagining in my head almost, maybe there's some ladies here, oh goodness, I better hide that chain, or oh dear, and all that kind of stuff. But let me explain, that's not primarily, I think, what we should be focusing on here. Peter here is not praising what I would call dowdiness nor slovenliness. He is speaking against those in this society who literally had made a god of beauty and fashion and were giving far too much regard to these outward things as opposed to what we're like on the inside. And I think it's that principle that we need to focus on here, rather than go down a kind of almost, I suspect, a legalistic road where you would be kind of going through life saying, is it okay to buy this? Is it okay to have this dress? Is it okay to have this hairdo or whatever? Really, I don't think that is what the Apostle Peter is calling us to focus on. The principle here is the important thing. Peter is not advocating some slavish tyranny as Christian ladies agonize over a piece of jewelry or whether they should buy some new clothes or whether they shouldn't. It's what we're like on the inside that really is the big, big issue. That's the principle here. Verse 4, instead it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. The big issue, ladies, wives, is what you are like on the inside. There is an attractiveness, there's obviously an attractiveness that comes from the outside, but there is actually a deeper attractiveness that comes from the inside. It makes me think of Proverbs 31, the wife of noble character, and all of that. So there's a wonderful little word there for the wives. And it teaches us about our lives, our witness. And maybe you are in a situation like this, where you are a believer and your husband as yet is not yet a believer. What are you to do? Well, you're to continue to be a witness in your life. You're to continue to portray that Christ-like character that God will honor and that your husband will see something of Christ in your life day by day, week by week, year by year, and as you pray and cry unto the Lord for him, that God will honor that. And the second thing that I just want to mention here is a word to the husbands. I remember reading coming across a little illustration which I thought was really quite powerful, and it's a real challenge for us men. It suggested this, that there are many men who keep a little halo hanging outside their front door, which they pick up as they leave the house each day and they discard when they come back in the house. And the illustration that I once heard was this. Imagine a man who leaves his house each morning. And as he leaves his house and he goes to his work, he becomes a gentleman. As far as his friends and work colleagues are concerned, He is a perfect gentleman. But as the day goes on, he's getting a little bit tired. And as the day comes to an end, it's time to go home. As he comes back to his house, he takes his halo off and he hangs it up on a peg and he goes into his house. His day's work is over. Here he can be himself. Before long, he becomes irritated. Something has been lost. The children are misbehaving. The wife has dented the car. He loses his temper and he begins to shout. The halo is gone. The horns are on. The saint abroad has become a devil at home. And the comment that was made was this: men, it is possible that at church people may see us as angels. At work they may see us as gentlemen. And at home they may see us as grizzly bears. And, you know, there is much in that. There really is. And the apostle Peter speaks here. Ladies, you may be upset. He spent six verses speaking about the wives and only one verse for the men. But there's something of real challenge here for the men. Look what it says. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands are to honor their wives. The NIV translates a word there, respect. That may be actually too weak. The Authorized Version and the ESV, I think, have got it more correct. Honor is a stronger word. It literally means preciousness. Husbands, listen to this. In the same way, be considerate as you live with your lives and treat them with preciousness. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? They are precious. And the truth of the matter is that many husbands need to be reminded that their wives are precious. All of us as husbands need to be reminded of that. It speaks here of the wife being the weaker partner. Please don't read that as a demeaning comment. But just as a fact that the woman is usually weaker, not intellectually or morally, or as regards strength of character, but physically. I know there's some strong ladies around, but generally speaking. And husbands need to be aware of this. And in the midst of life with its hectic round, to show practical consideration to their wives. Husbands are never to be domineering. Again, a path I could go round. I heard just in one of the reports in the General Assembly, it was talking about society. Generally, domestic violence apparently is very, very common. Probably more common than you might realize. It almost goes without saying, but I will say it. The professing Christian ought never, ever to go down that road. As one of the writers puts it, the husband must dwell with his wife as one who knows her needs and who recognizes the delicacy of her nature and her feelings. So husbands, live with your wives and treat them with honor as the weaker partner. And Peter mentions a couple of other reasons as to why we ought to treat our wives in this way. And he's actually speaking here to husbands who have got a partner, a wife who is a believer, because he says this. He speaks of them as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Husband, if you are married to a believing lady, she is your sister in Christ. She is an heir with you of the precious gift of life. She is not only your wife, but she is your sister in the Lord Jesus. Honor her as such. And also she is your partner in prayer. There's a very interesting little section here at the end where Peter says, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Your prayers is in the plural and suggests that husband and wife are praying together. Nothing will hinder. You see, this teaches us that if there's something not quite right in the home, if there's a problem, maybe it's an unspoken problem, it will actually affect our prayers. It will affect the effectiveness of our prayers. The implication here is that husband and wife in this situation are praying together. Now, I know that that doesn't always happen, maybe in the way that it ought, and sometimes that can be a difficult thing, though if truth be told, it shouldn't be difficult. But can I suggest there's nothing even to hinder if you find it difficult to pray out loud, even with your partner, even to at the beginning or the end of the day, just sit for a moment of silent prayer together. God will honor that. If husbands do not honor their wives, prayers will become ineffective and hollow and false. Folks, our time has gone this morning, but can you see that the teaching of the gospel is certainly come to Jesus Christ. Come to Christ for salvation. Come to him. I'm just going to put up that last little picture. The teaching of the gospel is come to Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. Repent and believe the gospel. That is primarily what the gospel is about. But do not forget that the gospel also calls us, having been saved by the grace of God, to work that out at home, at school, at work, wherever. And today, work it out at home. Marriage really does matter. It matters supremely. We have a very high view of marriage. Wives, you hear the word of God here, and you hear what the word of God is calling you to that witness, not only of word, but of life, to that attractiveness of your character. And husbands, you and I, as husbands, we are to honor our wives as being very, very precious. And we're not to do anything that would dishonor them. And we're to seek individually and together to take those moments to pray and to ensure that there's nothing in our lives, nothing in our character that would hinder our prayer life as we come to our Heavenly Father. So this morning, the gospel calls us to Christ, and the gospel teaches us that in the realm of the home, that marriage really does matter. Let's bow together for a short prayer. Father, we pray that you would help us to take on board the teaching of your word and lead us in your way for Christ's sake. Amen.